This is Tony Broom Ministries, welcoming you for the old-time preaching from God's Word, 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. The title is, The All Stayed.
We're in 2 Kings chapter 4. This is a familiar story. Elisha the prophet, the lady who was the wife of one of the prophets, came to him. This message is called The All Stayed. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 through 7 addresses the question, what causes the all to stay? You'll also find out why I use the word stay instead of stop. There was a problem in verse 1. Some people think that Christians don't have problems. You come to Jesus, He will solve your problems. That's true, He will solve your problems. But the fact is, you always have problems and He always is solving, so it's an ongoing process. Jesus Himself said it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom or through whom they come. You can't help having a problem. But you can help being a problem causer. Amen. You just don't cause no problem, and we won't have nearly as many if you don't cause them. Amen. There was a problem in verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha. These sons of the prophets was a prophetic order that was designed by the Lord to carry forth His word, and it started, I suppose you could say, it started with Samuel the prophet. And on down through the prophets, here Elijah, he stood as prophet over the school. They had a school of prophets. God give us a school of prophets instead of the school that is not too profitable that we have many times nowadays. The only profit that many of them have is the profit that they make and the money they put in their pocket, but they're not producing too many profits. And the Holy Ghost produces a profit. He don't have to send them to school at the cemetery, the seminary. You don't have to go there to be a prophet. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you will be a prophet. You may not be a prophetic office prophet, but anybody that is born again and sanctified in the Holy Ghost filled, they are a prophet because you're a part of a prophetic order. You're a part of the priest of believers, the priesthood of believers. You are a special priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are the chosen generation. This wife of one of the sons of the prophets, she comes to the prophet Elijah and she says to him, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead." Now that's a problem when your husband is dead. Lest your Lulu, Lulu, Lulu. And they say, "Who is Lulu?" And they say, "That was my second wife's first husband." Anyway, you'll get that sometime, but worried about being married to Lulu. And the other preacher at the grave, he heard the man saying, "Why did you have to die? Why did you have to die?" And he thought it was somebody real close to the guy. And he said, "Can I help you, sir? Must be your mother." He said, "No. Why did you have to die? Why did you have to die?" And he said, "Well, who is it, your wife?" He said, "No, my wife's first husband." Yeah. Why'd you have to die? Now I got her. That's the thing. My husband's dead. So y'all didn't think y'all could have fun in church no more. All you gotta do is just come. Turn on your radio, tap on your tablet. Get on Facebook. This is Facebook, ain't no fake book. A lot of times it's fake book. My husband, your servant, my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. He was a God-fearing man. He was a real prophet. And the problem is, not only is he dead, and I don't have him now, that's a big problem, but the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. There's a problem because there's a debt that's due that I cannot pay. And they're coming to take my two sons to be bondmen. creditor is always trying to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And he does everything to undo that which the enemy means for evil. The enemy, that which he meant for evil, they sing the song, he's working it for our good. And the creditor has come to take my two sons for bondmen. The lady that we go and visit, she comes to the door and she lets us in. And her husband is someone she's been praying for to get saved. He's this big bad guy, you know, nobody gonna tell me what to do. Ain't nobody gonna make me bow. Ain't nobody gonna make me get saved. He lays in there in the chair like a hot dog with his shirt off. Nobody gonna tell him what to do. Well, we talk to her and we have prayer with her, and I hear her sweetly and softly say, maybe next time. And I stuck with my heart years and years later, maybe next time. She'd always had prayer, always had hope that he would get saved, that somebody could reach him, that he would listen to the gospel. I don't know if George ever did or not. But she said, maybe next time. Many people are saying maybe next time, but there may not be no next time. You need to hear what the prophetic voice of God says. Today is the day of salvation. There may not be no next time. The problem is, I've got this debt. I can't pay it. My husband is dead. I can't make it on my own. My two sons are here to help me, but now the creditor has come and he's taking them to be bondmen. There's always an answer for your problem. It may not look like it. It may not seem there's a way out. It may be like my cell phone situation. I got three phones and don't even know what to do with every one to cotton picking one of them. About two of them halfway work for what I need. And I'd say, Lord, help me. But he said, don't worry about that. You preach the word today and we'll fix that next week sometime. So that's what we're doing. It's off now, so nobody's going to bother me anyway. If I get a call on it now, I better answer because it's going to be from heaven. It might be from hell, but I won't listen to what he's got to say. The problem, we had a problem too. We owed a debt we could not pay. So he paid a debt that he did not owe. The prophets, this is the first part of verse 2. Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? Now he didn't say, wait and let me go ask God what he wants to do. He said, what shall I do for thee? That may be a little presumptuous for some people's theology. But the New Testament said the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. What that means in this situation is that we're always waiting for God to tell us exactly everything to do. And Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel and lay hands on the sick and expect them to recover. Now, what happens in the middle of that thing might be the middle of the sandwich that you might have to kind of work out. Because you don't know every situation that's going to happen. Some people feel like that Jesus just stood around and whatever the Father told him to do exactly. Now, Jesus, turn left. Okay, go 20 steps. Now, wait. Stop right there. Now, turn right. There's going to be a blind man coming down the road right here. There it is. That's not what happened. Jesus was always in tune with God. But God didn't have to tell him every step to take. He said, you walk and you talk and whatever you confront, I'll back you up and you can do something about it. We wait on God to tell us every little thing to do, and God said, I'm waiting on you. If you're waiting on me, you're backing up. The prophet said, what shall I do for thee? He wasn't being big and brash and saying, I'm going to do something. But God gave him the power to do something about the situation. What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And then there was a pot. Last part of verse 2. She said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot. But it didn't just stop with a pot. a pot of oil. The word for pot, asuk, is a word that I haven't seen anywhere else in the Bible. I couldn't even find it in the lexicon Hebrew dictionary. But it is a pot, it is a flask of oil. The pot, there's a lot of pots around. They say, where did you go pick up your husband? Didn't you go to the bus station? She said, no, I went to depot. What do you mean depot? Depot, but it ain't spelled depot, it's spelled depot. See, our nation has gone to depot. They going to depot, they trying to legalize depot. We were little and went to grandma's house, we used to sit on depot. Some of you old enough know what I'm talking about. I don't have anything in the house except a pot. But it's not just a pot, it's what's in the pot. This is what's important. Lord have mercy. It's the oil that's in the pot that's going to do something about the situation. I don't have anything in this house except the pot of oil. And this is the plan for the pot of oil, verses 3 and 4. Then he said, go, borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. Even empty vessels borrow not a few. The first commandment is to go. Not ho and woe, but go. Well, I'm just waiting. I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the time roll away. Some people are doing that all their Christian life. They like Granny on the Beverly Hillbillies. Granny, what's wrong with you? Don't you have the Christmas spirit? Well, I'm just sitting here waiting for it to hit me. Some people are doing that with the power of the Holy Ghost. They sit around and wait for it to hit you. He doesn't want to hit you. He wants to bless you. He wants to feel you. He wants to touch you. Hey. He's not trying to hit you. If he would have hit us, he'd have hit us a long time ago and knocked us to kingdom come. He'd got every right to do it. He said, go. Same thing Jesus said, go and borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. Borrow. That's a nice King James way. Sha'al means to request. When you borrow something, you expect it to bring it back. These are borrowed like Junior borrowed your lawnmower, and 10 years later he ain't never brought it back. That's the kind of borrow that he's talking about here. That's not the kind of borrow that we advocate, but he says borrow, request of all your neighbors. And we know that it doesn't say it specifically, but our girlfriends. I know you say that now, that means bad, but when we was coming up, you could have a girlfriend, and when you was a girl, there wasn't nothing wrong with it, but nowadays, you got to curl your wrist in front of you, you know, like this. But there's nothing wrong with having a show enough real girlfriend. Go borrow, like we used to do on the Mill Hill, send the kids out to borrow a little bit of sugar, borrow a little bit of flour, put it in the bowl, and bring it back to the house. I wouldn't do that now for a man in the moon. No telling what they'd send you back to the house. You might have some powder, but it'd take you far away. Y'all wouldn't do it either. But you used to do it, not think a thing about it. Kid go borrow something, by the time he done got home, done spill half of it. Mom try to make out what he's got. Go borrow vessels abroad of all your neighbors. Anywhere you can get it. Even empty vessels. Don't need no full vessels. Borrow empty vessels, not a few, a whole lot of them. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons. The word is to shut the door behind you. Shut the door upon you and upon your sons. And you will pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. You will pour the oil into those vessels. But the first thing you have to do, not only to request the vessels and to make sure they're empty vessels and get them from everywhere you can get them, but you have to take them into this room and you have to shut the door behind you and your two sons. Sometimes we just got to get into the church house, and it may be the church house building here, it may be your house, wherever you are. You've got to get in the house sometime and just shut the door behind you. Shut it all out. Shut CNN out. Shut Fox out. Told you about messing with that Fox, didn't I? Shut it all out. Cut it all off. Sometimes you got to shut it out. Get in a place where God wants you to be. Shut the door upon you and upon your sons and start pouring out into those vessels. And that which is full, you can put it to be used. Yes. Then there is a pouring. The pouring, verse 5. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. As long as there was a vessel, there was a pouring of the oil. She kept on pouring as long as there was a vessel. God said, in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He said upon all flesh. That means white flesh, black flesh, all kind of flesh. Jew flesh, Gentile flesh, bishop flesh, high people, low people, kings and paupers, Baptists and Catholics and Methodists and Pentecostals, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. In fact, that's where all those denominations came from. They would be none of them had he not poured his spirit out upon all flesh. Lord have mercy. He pours out his spirit just like she poured out of the oil. And she kept on pouring and pouring and pouring. As long as there was a vessel, she kept on pouring. The vessels are known as people. Verse 6, it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. I need another vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. It didn't say the oil stopped. It said the oil stayed, ya'amod, which is taken from the word amad. It means to take one's stand or stand still. Like you stand still and see the salvation of God. Not no stopping. He never stops. He never stops working. Amen. But sometimes he amud. Sometimes he stands still. He takes his stand, but he never stops. The oil did not stop, but it stayed. Why did it stay? Because there was not another vessel to put it in. Amen. We think that God has stopped, but God has not stopped. God has stayed, and the reason that he stayed, because there's not another vessel to pour the oil in. But if you'll make yourself available today, you will be a vessel for the oil, and he can continue to pour the oil in again. The oil represents the Holy Ghost, and he will continue to pour the oil in. Make yourself available to God. The provision is verse 7. Then she came and told the man of God. You wouldn't believe what happened. I went into that room just like you said. I shut that door just like you said. And there was all these vessels lying around. Some of them were bottles, some of them were jars, some of them were buckets. They looked funny. Some of them looked different colors and all that, but it didn't matter. If it had a hole in the top of it, we poured oil in it. And I poured oil. Every time they brought me another vessel, I kept on pouring the oil. Man of God, you wouldn't believe it. He said, I think I would believe it. My God that I serve is able to do it. Amen. She had a pot of oil, just one pot, but somehow or another, As long as she kept pouring, and there was a vessel, there was oil in the pot to be poured out into the vessel. God is an endless supply.
Amen.
His pot never runs dry.
Amen.
Lord have mercy. He is a God of all sufficiency. He is a God of yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
He is the same yesterday and today and forever, and He has the oil that you need. He is like those big olive trees in the book of Zechariah that stand on each side, and they have a continual supply of flowing, life-giving oil. That's what my God can do. God is still pouring out His Spirit in the last days. He has not stopped. It might look like He stays, but He never stops. He is still pouring His Spirit out. But it doesn't matter how much He wants to pour His Spirit out, if there is not a vessel to pour the oil in, there's no need to pour it on the ground. It won't do any good on the ground. She told the man of God, and he said unto her, go. I think I heard that word before, go. First she had to go and get vessels. Now she's got to go and do something with the oil that's in those vessels. Go, sell the oil. Pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Several things that she had to do. He told her to go, and he told her to sell the oil. Most women can sell anything. I mean, they can sell a man anything. They can sell a piece of cardboard to a man, he'll buy it. Go sell the oil. Why don't y'all want to laugh at that? Well, you know it's true whether you laugh at it or not. That's why women are good salesmen. You ought to have them on your force. If you don't, you need two or three of them. They'll help you out. If they can't help you out, they'll help you out. They'll do something to help you. Oh, they sell it. Pay your debt. No more creditor. No more bother. No more worry about your son being taken away from you. Now you have an endless supply of oil. Pay your debt and live thou and thy children of the rest. God not only gave her enough to pay her debt, He gave her enough to live sufficiently what she needed. That's the kind of God I serve. God of abundance. God who can feed 5,000 people and also allow 12 baskets to be taken up. That's the God I serve. He's a God of Abraham, He's a God of Isaac, and He's a God of Jacob.
You have been listening to the old time preaching from God's Word, 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. The title has been, The Oil Stayed. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior, and you know Him as your Lord today. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.